south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
You know, the other day I was talking to a part-time gringo expat who came down to one of my earlier Expat Insider seminars. He's working in California state government. And he'll be working there a little while longer, he says, until he gets completely out of Dodge. He's already got a couple of properties in Latin America, so he's got one foot in the States and one foot in Latin America. And that works if you want to do it with a step-by-step plan instead of just diving right in. Anyway, he told me that in the state of California now, if you're using Google Maps to get to your destination or Waze to plot out where you're going to go with your car, they've got an app now that'll map out all the potholes on the way to your destination. And that's when I was thinking, man, will that app be popular here in Latin America? I don't know if it exists yet. I don't think so. But, you know, as California and the U.S. go, sooner or later, the rest of the world catches on. And, man, will they catch on to this pothole thing, which should lead us eventually to what I think is the best roadmap app of all. That would be pointing out all the speed bumps and what they call tumulos on the way to your destination. Man, would an app like that save you on mechanics bills and wear and tear on your car? Now, in Central America, they call those speed bumps tumulos, though there are different names for those things in different countries. We're talking about giant concrete and asphalt bumps that seem to pop up out of nowhere. Yep, some of them spring up overnight. Now, in a way, you can see the utility of these things, especially in front of a school or a hospital. But man, some neighborhood idiots take these things to extreme lengths. For example, if you own a hardware store and you want people to slow down in front of your store so that they might come in and buy something. Well, you know, sometimes the owner will pay a construction company to put one of those tumulos in right in front of his store. Now, you might think that's illegal, and it is, but no one will ever do anything about it. There are no tumulo police, you know? And most times they don't even bother to paint them yellow or white, so it's pretty much a guarantee if you have a car, you're going to hit one of those things so hard, it's going to rattle your teeth, jostle your kidneys, and naturally, put a nice big gouge or scratch in the undercarriage of your car. And you know, mechanics will come right out and tell you, those speed bumps are great for business. In fact, every so often, you'll go past a big tumulo and see a piece of a car laying on the side of the road. You know, an outside mirror, a rusted bumper, a chunk of a quarter panel, a piece of metal or plastic from the underside of the car. Now, how'd that happen? Well, most likely it happened at night to a driver who was new to the area. By the way, when you're driving through Latin America, it's not unusual to see mirrors, bumpers, quarter panels, assorted car pieces laying on the side of the road that just, well, fell off. And the owner never even stopped to pick them up. And why not, considering there are some total junks on the road down here that are 30, 40, even 50 years old. In fact, one of the first things I do when I'm looking for a car, whether it's for me or for somebody I'm helping out, I take a look under the car to see just how much damage has been done by those ridiculous speed bumps. Because remember, you got cables and hoses, nuts, bolts, your motor oil drain plug, and more. Lots of important and delicate stuff, very near ground level and liable to get whacked. Now, some of those tumulos are small, just maybe 2 or 3 inches high, and some of them are ridiculously high. And the taller ones you can see have been flattened off at the top. And how do you think that happened? Well, it came at a cost, that's for sure. The cost of hundreds of cars bottoming out and scraping the top of those things. Now, of course, if you drive safely and keep your eyes open, you can spot those things, no matter what size they are, half a block away, and gives you time to slow down and roll over them gently. Sometimes, maybe 1 out of 5 instances, there'll actually be a road sign advising you a half a block before the thing. Yep, with some, there's advanced warning, but don't count on it. That's just one of the reasons it's not a very good idea to drive at night. Or, as many stupid gringos do, buy a car that's got a low profile. However, you know, a lot of people like to buy compact and subcompact cars, and they're going to be quite low, so they're the most at risk. I can't tell you how many arguments I've gotten into with gringos and expats when they're buying their first car here in Latin America. People always ask my advice about cars, but they almost never take it. Because, you know, selecting a car is such a personal thing. Especially with women, it's more about the color and the style than it is about the functionality. So then, what are my picks for the best cars and trucks to have here in Latin America? Well, you longtime listeners already know that. I always say, try to buy a small SUV or a pickup truck. A perfect small SUV would be something like a Toyota RAV4, Suzuki Vitara, or maybe a Ford Escape. By the way, a Ford Escape is called a Ford Escape here. Anyway, there are lots of small SUVs. You don't have to buy a full-size one. That would be a little excessive, especially considering the crazy traffic and the way people drive, along with the personal space problem, meaning other cars and motorcycles get right up next to you, not to mention continuous tailgating, the tiny parking spaces, the narrow roads, etc., etc. Just know if you have one of those big or full-size pickups or large or full-size SUVs, you're always going to be pissed off because you'll never be able to keep it in nice condition. In other words, if you like your car in pristine condition, you're going to have it in the shop at least 3 times a year for body work. That's why I recommend a small SUV or a smaller pickup truck. For one thing, they're a smaller target for dings and scratches. They're easier to maneuver and easier to park than the big ones. Most importantly, you've got a few more inches of road clearance that you're definitely going to need because you're bound to slam into any number of tumulos. Though I have to admit, when you do, they really wake you up. Now, I'm not going to fool myself into thinking you're going to take that advice. Though most gringos and expats listen and hear it, still they almost always seem to fall in love with another car model. But when I'm sitting in the car with them and they hit one of those tumulos, as I watch them frown and grit their teeth, they'll usually look at me and say something like, "Don't say a word, Johnny, don't say a word." Then the excuses will come. Well, it was my first car here in Latin America. It was a great deal, too good to pass up. And Johnny, I had a car like this back in Cleveland. It was great. Not to mention it's so good on gas, you know those SUVs. Yeah, I've heard all the excuses. Meanwhile, if you're driving a mini SUV like a RAV4, you can hit one of those tumulos at 30 miles an hour and still not bottom out. Sure, it'll shake your kidneys and knock your glasses off, but you won't hear that sickening metal on concrete scraping sound that you'll hear way too often if you're driving a regular car. But still, amazingly enough, especially in the big city, there are lots of Latinos with the small penis syndrome, driving cars with almost no clearance like Corvettes and Mustangs, Porsches, Maseratis, even Lamborghinis. Could it be the lower the profile, the smaller the penis? Looks like. Which brings us full circle back to that Waze and Google Maps pothole app. And hopefully, a speed bump / tumulo app coming soon to a smartphone near you. Man, I'll tell you, who's ever first to develop that app is going to be a millionaire in a month. Everyone here in Latin America will download it. Even people who really don't need it, like pickup truck and SUV owners. Enough said about that. Now, here's an article that will be of interest to any gringos and expats living in Latin America who happen to be married to or have a kid with a Latino or Latina. That does happen, you know. This comes from Panama's biggest newspaper. The title of the article, it's in Spanish, of course, and I'll translate. Alimony payments down by 40%. And I'll paraphrase here. It says, job layoffs due to health emergencies due to the COVID virus, lockdowns, and quarantine have left many separated fathers unable to pay pensiones alimenticia, meaning alimony and child support. I'm sure that's true up in Milwaukee and Cleveland too, but the interesting thing here is that this article states the amounts people pay for alimony and child support in Panama, which is pretty much the same throughout Latin America. It says here 85% of alimony payments in Panama are less than $130 a month. Now, here in Latin America, that amount is not necessarily based on the man's income. It's pretty much what the judge decides when you go to court after divorce. Though, generally, it's around 10 to 20% of a guy's wages. Now, you know, here in Latin America, about 30% of the people or more are working off the books. So, that makes it a lot more difficult for a judge to assess the right amount. That means one out of three fathers going to court for a child support or alimony claim will not have any official written records or even tax filings to prove what he makes. So the judge will many times arbitrarily pick a number. And generally, it's never all that much. Because then the guy might just get so pissed off he disappears or just never pays. And since here in Latin America, enforcement is minimal. And it's difficult to garnish someone's wages. that means here in Latin America, with alimony and child support, the guy's mostly on the honor system. And that, of course, means most guys are behind or don't pay at all. All right, so again, 85% of alimony payments in Panama and the rest of Latin America are less than $130 a month. Now, as a comparison, I just checked the state of Illinois, and they've got an online calculator. In other words, you put in the guy's salary. Oh, yeah, and it's almost always the guy paying alimony and child support, right? But let's not call that reverse sexism now. Anyway, in Illinois, for the average guy making $4,000 a month, that's around $48,000 a year. That'd be kind of solid middle class or even slightly lower middle class, right? Well, it turns out in Illinois, if you have one kid and you're making $4,000 a month, your child support payment will be $1,160 a month. Now, amazingly enough, if you have two or three kids, it's the same amount, $1,160 a month. That's about 30% of your gross income. But remember, most all Americans are in the 50% tax bracket. And if you don't believe that, remember, I've got a list of 100 taxes you don't even know you pay. And if you want that report, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. So anyway, if you're living in the States and are a working person, you pay 50% or more in taxes. That means in the States, in Illinois, a guy making $4,000 a month is really only making $2,000 after all those taxes are bled out of him. So in effect, he's paying it slightly more than 50% of his income in child support. And unlike in Latin America, there's really no way around paying that. And because there's such poor enforcement here south of the border, it's been estimated that over half of the men who are on the hook for alimony and child support either don't pay at all or are at least 6 months behind. But there is one way to sting people, and it mostly works on gringos and expats. Turns out, if you're more than 6 months behind in child support and alimony, the injured party, the ex-wife or ex-girlfriend, can go to court and plead her case. And again, here in Latin America, 99.9% of people who pay child support and alimony are men. Now, there is one way to punish gringos and expats in that situation. A woman can go to court to complain that the guy hasn't been anteing up, and the judge will block the guy's passport. It's called an embargo on your passport. That just means you can't leave the country until you settled your court case. And of course, Latin American guys don't care about that. Just like up in the States, the average Latin American never leaves his country. The average guy doesn't have enough money to do any extensive traveling. So blocking passports means almost nothing to the average Latin American guy. Nor, for that matter, the average guy in Cleveland. However, as it applies to gringos and expats, it can really put a damper on your life. In fact, a pretty good friend of mine from New Jersey had been living in Latin America for 8 or 10 years. Turns out, he knocked up his Latina girlfriend, but they never got married. They were getting along pretty good, and when the kid was born, he signed the birth certificate along with the mother, giving his last name to the kid legally. He did the noble gringo thing. And then, a year or two later, they had a huge falling out. He found out she was cheating on him. He ended up moving to Honduras and then Colombia. Then back to the States for a couple of years because he was married previously and had a couple of college kids he had to help out. Though, actually, as it turned out, they were a couple of the usual suspect entitled American kids that he really didn't have to help out after all. But, you know, it happens so often that parents who see spoiled kids in other families are blind to it when it's under their own roof. Anyway, then because he had some business deals going on in Guatemala, he came back down again. When he was done with that business, he bought a ticket for Panama, but once at the airport, they wouldn't let him leave the country. Why? Well, it turns out his ex from years earlier had blocked his passport. So then he got a hold of his Guatemalan lawyer, who got a hold of her lawyer, and as it turns out, he had not paid any child support for around 6 years. And when he was around, he was paying, get this, $60 a month. So he was 6 years behind for a total of around $4,500. And in order to get his passport unblocked and get out of the country, he had to pony up. However, his lawyer was able to negotiate that figure down to $2,000. That's what lawyers do, right? And actually, in total, he ended up paying $2,200 because his lawyer charged him $200. Pretty good deal, huh? So in the end, it took about a week to get his passport unblocked. And then I said to him, why'd you quit paying that $60 a month? You got off easy. If you were in the States, you'd have got creamed. And then I added, you know, that's not very nice. It's not the gringo thing to do. You're supposed to own up to your responsibilities. That kind of stuff makes us gringos look bad. Then he said, that's the thing, Johnny. I'm almost certain that's not my kid. And I said, really? Then why'd you sign the birth certificate, you dummy? He said, I don't know, at the time we were getting along, I guess I just wasn't thinking straight. But here's the clincher. That was the bargaining tool his lawyer used to get the child support payment knocked down to $2,000 from $4,500. Turns out his lawyer offered her lawyer two options. He said his gringo client would pay the whole amount, the $4,500, but the kid would have to get a paternity test. Or option two, $2,000 without the test. And guess what? She took the $2,000. So obviously she wasn't so sure either, which really strengthened his case, except his lawyer told him, even if she took the $4,500 and got the paternity test and it wasn't his kid, he'd still be on the hook for alimony because he signed the birth certificate. Didn't matter if he was the real father or not. He was on the hook. But, the lawyer said, if the kid turned out not to be his, they could petition for a much smaller monthly payment and probably get it knocked down to 30 or 25 bucks a month. Because with certain judges, that kind of hanky-panky does not go unpunished. Bottom line, you don't want to end up in court. Who does in any country? Even though down here south of the border, it won't cost you an arm and a leg like up in the States. Still, things can drag on and drag on sometimes for years. And of course, you don't want to get your passport blocked. But gringos and expats do get themselves caught up in those situations. That's what these boots on the ground stories are all about. To illustrate, in this case, that you know what you're in for if you play the mating, dating, and marriage game here in Latin America. Oh, and as un-PC as this sounds, every Latin American girl I've ever met has a not-so-secret desire to have light-skinned, clear-eyed gringo babies. That goes for Latin males, too. They want that gringa counterpart to achieve that kind of family. In fact, I hear Latin ladies discussing that all the time. Though I don't mean they come right out and say it. But with every Latina I've ever gone out with, I have heard her friends and female relatives at one time or another talk about how beautiful those half-gringo babies are going to be. In fact, and you can verify this a million ways, down here in Latin America, any kid that's born with light skin or light hair or what they call clear eyes, ojos claros, that would be green, blue, or gray, not coffee-colored, cafe, brown, or black. Well, let me tell you, that kid will get an inordinate amount of attention in the family. Where do you think that term fair-haired boy came from? He's the kid that gets all the attention. Well, one thing's for sure, there's always one kid in a Latin family that's either taller, lighter-skinned, clearer-eyed, with fairer or lighter hair than the rest of the kids. And he or she's the one that's going to get doted on the rest of his or her life. Then again, in a very small way, that's true up in the States, too. But not nearly to the degree you see it down here. In fact, I hear it from my own Latino male friends, whose greatest dream is to marry or have a girlfriend that's a gringa. Though a tall, light-skinned Latino will do, too. Because then their babies will be taller, whiter, and have clearer eyes. In fact, I've always said, if you want to judge how racist a country really is, just look at a recent photo of their Congress or House of Representatives, and then go online and look at an average street shot, a representative example of the common man. You'll certainly notice that 80 to 90% of the average people on the street are short, dark, and have very black hair, whereas in that photo of the Congress, 90% or more happen to be tall and light-skinned. How'd that happen? Makes you wonder. Oh, and how about this email from Cameron in San Francisco? He says, Johnny, I'm an ex-depressed public high school math teacher from San Francisco who started his own IT business in 2014. It actually seemed to give me a new lease on life, having my own business on the net. But then came all this social justice warrior stuff and cancel culture, etc. And now, once again, I'm falling back into depression. I'm serious when I say it's last call for living in the United States. I'm getting the hell out of Dodge. It's way overdue for me. And I can do it, too, because I have an internet business, and I can make money from anywhere. Talk about stories, Johnny. I have a business partner from Austria, not Australia, Austria. He says U.S. culture is so very strange that he could never adapt, could never live there, even though, as a kid, he said it always was his dream to move to America, but not anymore. For one thing, he says it's normal for a 14 or 15-year-old Austrian kid to say to his parents something like, hey, Dad, there's a concert this weekend in the big city. Can I go with my friends? And my dad would say, yeah, here's 20 euros. Bring a raincoat and keep your phone charged and be back by 10 p.m. Whereas in the United States, if a parent let his 14 or 15-year-old kid go on a train by himself for a couple hours to attend an event in some big city, that parent would be in big trouble. That's for sure. Then Cameron says, Johnny, I know the snowflake hyper-PC culture is not new. It's been around for a half dozen years or so anyway. But now it's exploded into absolute craziness. Everything's a microaggression. There are wimpy safe spaces, trigger warnings, biased responses, fat shaming, skinny shaming, smart shaming, dummy shaming, cancel culture, LGBTQ identity politics, gender shifting, virtue signaling, social oppression, white privilege, and call-out culture, whatever that is. The world has exploded with crazy ass, soft skull terms that didn't even exist 5 years ago. And all those good and thoughtful teachers and professors, I was one once, have to now walk on eggshells, censoring their asses off or risk getting sanctioned or fired, making teaching as a fulfilling career a thing of the past, and making for those with an urge to really teach and imparting unbiased knowledge and fostering open debate an impossible dream. I have teacher friends, and they say it's the worst job in the world. However, if you are just a shit teacher, just biding your time and getting a paycheck, you can play the game pretty well. Though just imagine all the volumes of wimpy and weak scholastic papers and thesis topics that have come out in the last few years pandering to the social media influencers just because if they don't, they'll get canned or marginalized or become irrelevant. And it's all because of a cowardly mob of soft-headed social media addicts. And the topper is, Johnny, that universities have created grievance studies courses now and whole departments with ridiculous but very PC names and courses that will never get you a leg up in the working world. In fact, just the opposite. If I, as an employer, saw that you had grievance courses or gender bias courses on your resume, well, as an entrepreneur looking to advance my business, I would not want to hire you for fear you'd dial an 800 number or go to a website and report me for some kind of micro-social gaffe flavor of the month that probably hasn't even been invented yet as I write this. And Johnny, worse yet, adolescent and young adult kids are helpless and have no idea or even need to be independent or self-sufficient. They know they can get others to fight their battles for them. I've seen it happen myself. They get their overprotective mothers and fathers to do their bidding, to take to the phones and social platform groups to call out so-called grave injustices amid hurtful and demeaning microaggressions that torment and torture their sensitive natures. For example, and I've got more than one, believe me, this really happened to me, Johnny. Way back in 2017, I hired one of those liberal arts college students for an amazingly easy and fun job. She complained a lot, said it was stressful, made it out to be very hard. Turns out it was her first real job. After about 6 weeks, she'd already called in sick 3 times, then complained she needed some time off to chill out. Stress issue, she said. She came back 3 weeks after her time off and said she was ready to work again. I told her, sorry, someone took your place. I couldn't hold it for you. She first got angry and then cried. Then after she composed herself, she said that there were labor laws and cited various website links that required me to take her back. She had a hissy fit when I tried to be nice and explained it was a business I was running, not a welfare office or daycare center. That night, her mother called me. Yes, a 22-year-old having her mother call me. And I explained to her, too, I was running a business, not a welfare office. She said, all right, okay. Then asked me for severance pay for her daughter and unemployment benefits that she said she was entitled to. And Johnny, get this, her position at my tiny little company, the one she worked at for 6 weeks, was only 3 hours a day. What the f***? So, Johnny, I'm liquidating. The world has gone nuts. I just have to get the hell out of Dodge, or I'll go insane myself. Tell you the truth, I didn't know why it took me so long to get motivated in that direction. Though I admit I saw the signs years ago, I thought having an online business would eliminate most of the stress and bureaucratic crap you have to go through when you have a brick-and-mortar business. But drip by drip, I saw it coming even to online businesses like mine. I don't want to live in a world of snowflakes anymore. I saw the proof that as society gets more and more free time, people just get more and more bored and have more and more time to complain and become addicted to anti-social media. But you knew that already, right, Johnny? In the meantime, expect to see my first payment for your seminar show up this week sometime. And I hope, Johnny, for all concerned,
that this snowflake thing never makes it to Latin America. Not in my lifetime, anyway. Thank God for that lag time you talk about. See you in January. Signed, Cameron, San Francisco. All right, thanks for that, Cameron. And about snowflakes here in Latin America. Lucky for us, there's only a type of snowflake light, you might say, that only exists in the entitled 1 to 3% of rich gringo wannabe kids going to those helicopter schools. They're the only ones who actually know what a snowflake is. You ask any average Latin high school or college kid about snowflakes, they all say they'd love to see one. But unfortunately, Latin American climates aren't conducive to freezing temperatures, although they have the odd hailstorm once in a while. Yep, that's right. 99.9% of Latinos only know the traditional definition of snowflake, apart from the kids at helicopter schools, that is, who follow and track everything gringo because they're extreme gringo wannabes. Though, seems like all Latin American adolescents and young adults are addicted to anti-social media, too. I almost never see a Latino reading a book. And when I'm in a Latino's home, even an upscale Latino's home, the only real books you might see are coffee table books, meant for show and have never been cracked open but once. And you know, with all the lines you end up standing in at banks, supermarkets, etc. And believe me, in the last 3 months with this COVID thing, you see bigger and longer lines everywhere because there's that social distancing thing. Even so, with all the hundreds, even thousands of people I've seen standing in lines, I've never seen a single person reading a book. I only see people continuously banging away on their smartphones. I guess that's the new universal sickness, huh? Now, speaking about having a plan B and getting the hell out of Dodge, the best and fastest way to get a jump start on it is to come down to my Expat Insider Seminar. People say, and I've heard it from dozens of attendees, that they've got a 2 to 5 year head start on having a nice soft landing, an excellent start on their new life here in Latin America. As you know, my next seminar is coming up in January 2021. Sure, that's some months from now, but already people are signing up, and I'm going to cut it off at 25. So at least get that first payment in on the 3-payment plan, then you're locked in. You don't have to pay the whole thing off until the week before we start. So do go to expatplanb.com. Take a look at the sign-up info and reserve a spot. There's a lot of interest, even these many months before the seminar itself. Again, just go to expatplanb.com and click on the seminar link. Oh, and you'll also see there that it's possible to come down to the seminar and apply for Guatemalan residency at the same time. That is, kill two birds with one stone. You have that option, too. South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.